anytime, any place, anywhere. If you need me, I'll be there. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, in honor of the passing of Donald Gibb, I am here today to review Bloodsport. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Yes, in case you missed it, folks, just a couple weeks ago here, earlier in May, Donald Gibb passed away after a battle with throat cancer. Gibb was most known for his role here in Bloodsport as Ray Jackson, and of course for playing Ogre in the iconic 80s comedy Revenge of the Nerds. And trust me, folks, there was a very brief moment when I did consider watching and reviewing Revenge of the Nerds for the show, because it is warfare after all, and God only knows that movie has aged like already curdled milk. The scene, right? I just really wanted to talk about the scene. Also, there's like a lot of revenge porn in that movie. It's not good. Like, morally wise, it's not good. Very funny movie, but it's not good. However, when you have a martial art media podcast, like, I was gonna talk about Bloodsport at some point anyway. This just seems like the best possible time to talk about Bloodsport. Bloodsport is not a cult classic. In my opinion, it's a classic, period. It is a classic part of martial art movie history. It, in the Martial Art Movie Hall of Fame, which I guess I will build at some point, it's right up there. Bloodsport is right up there with Enter the Dragon, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Ip Man, Ung Bak, Lady Snowblood, Drunken Master, Hero, just all these iconic genre-defining films that reinvented and set new standards and the whole bit. Like, Bloodsport is definitely a part of that conversation. And although obviously Donald Gibb is in this movie and does put on a really good performance here in Bloodsport, this movie is obviously most known for being Jean-Claude Van Damme's breakout film. This was his first leading role. He had done a few smaller bit roles leading up to this movie, but this was his first leading role and his breakout film. Without Bloodsport, there would be no Kickboxer, Cyborg, Lionheart. We probably still would have gotten a Street Fighter movie, but it probably would not have been Van Damme as Guile. It would have been someone else. I don't know who, but it would have been someone else. Bloodsport came out to mixed reviews, more so negative reviews from critics. But this movie that was budgeted right around $2 million made an estimated $50 million in 1988 dollars. And with that kind of success, it launched a whole franchise. Four follow-up films. JCVD is in none of them. That guy did not do sequels, folks. He was like a one-and-done kind of guy. But it spawned a whole franchise worth of films. It inspired the movie The Last Kumite that came out back, I think it was back in 2024 now. It inspired Mortal Kombat. Hey, look, it's only been one episode since the last time I was talking about Mortal Kombat, but this movie inspired Mortal Kombat. And as I have already talked to death, Jean-Claude Van Damme inspired the character Johnny Cage. Though Bloodsport is not the first movie to have a premise of let's take people with very specific martial arts styles and pit them against each other, due to its popularity and the timing of when it came out, this movie plays a big impact on the concept of the early days of the UFC, where it was more of a let's take very specific styled martial artists and pit them against each other to see who has the superior fighting style. So obviously, when you have a movie that makes such a cultural impact, has a very successful film franchise history, there's always going to be talks of remakes. And in 2011, there was talk of there being a remake that was going to focus on a Afghanistan war veteran who gets involved in a Vale Tudo tournament in Brazil. That eventually fizzled out. However, just this year, talks of a reboot of Bloodsport has picked back up with A24. And at least I personally will rejoice at that. Seeing how Bloodsport is not a horror movie, obviously Blumhouse was not going to reboot it because that's what Blumhouse likes doing. But with the A24, not that every single one of their movies is a hit, though I feel like they make movies that kind of naturally appeal to my taste. Even the mockumentary about Charlie XCX looked really good. I didn't get a chance to see it yet, but even that movie looked really good. Just kind of their film style, like how their films are shot, how they tell stories, I think they could do a really good Bloodsport reboot. Bloodsport was the movie that reignited the martial art movie frenzy in the United States. Yes, Karate Kid is very popular, though it's more so appealing to a younger teen demo. This movie was what reintroduced the like martial art action movie, making it more of an appealing genre again. Chuck Norris obviously is still making films. Actually, in 1988, the third Missing in Action movie also came out, but you know, we're only a few years away from him transitioning to television. By this point, he's done a lot of his bangers, and we're pretty far removed now from the kung fu theater, Bruceploitation, blaxploitation, grindhouse films of the 70s and early 80s. Bloodsport is the movie that recaptured the mature martial art action moviegoer imagination and attention. This movie lays the groundwork for Steven Seagal, who's going to debut a year later. It lays the groundwork for Hong Kong stars like Jackie Chan, Michelle Yeoh, Cynthia Rothrock, Jet Li, who are all about ready to cross over to the American market with their own films from Hong Kong and their own American films as well. This is a central film and an essential film to watch. And if you haven't seen Bloodsport, don't worry, here in a moment I'll tell you all about the plot. But if you would like to watch this movie for yourself, it is streaming for free at the recording of this episode on Tubi and Pluto TV. So it is very accessible. The movie, centers around Jean-Claude Van Damme, who plays Frank Dukes. Dukes growing up in his neighborhood, there was a ninja master who started teaching him ninjutsu. You know how there's always a ninja kung fu or karate master in your neighborhood in every 80s movies? What was going on in the 80s? Why does that not happen now? Why are my neighbors not? I'm the ninja master, aren't I? Oh, maybe I need to do a better job of teaching ninjutsu out of my backyard. That's supposed to be me, isn't it? I'm just now having this realization. But Frank Dukes grows up learning ninjutsu from his ninja master living in his neighborhood. The ninja master's son is killed during a Kumite full contact, no holds barred fighting tournament. As Dukes grows up, he joins the military and is granted a furlough so that way he can go participate in this tournament, this Kumite full contact tournament, to bring honor back to his master's family name. While he is there, he meets up with Donald Gibb, who's, again, his character's name is Ray Jackson. It's a really cool character because, in a way, the character is very similar and also quite different from Ogre, because in appearance and in combat, he's just like this wacky, like very much like someone you do not want to mess with, a little unhinged. But one of the like best parts of this movie is the fact that like he's actually this like lovable, gentle giant, kind of like Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride, where he's like very imposing, but also just like very kind and very sweet. And like him and Van Damme end up having this awesome bromance, for lack of a better word. We weren't calling it that in the 80s, but like they just have like this awesome bromance. That line that I opened the show with, that's something that he says to Van Damme near the end of the movie. Like, they are just, they have each other's backs. They're watching out for each other. Ray Jackson, the character, ends up being defeated and like really critically wounded. And so Van Damme is kind of now adding on, you know, trying to win the tournament for in his honor as well. Like, it's a really sweet, very, kind relationship that they have, even though he looks like a crazy Grizzly Adams type person. Throughout the movie, you get several different kinds of fights and several kind of different fighting styles. They're all some form of like stand-up kickboxing for the most part. Van Damme, of course, has a Shotokan karate background, but he knows ninjutsu in the movie. Ray Jackson is kind of got that like Chuck Liddell brawler style fighting style. A lot of it is other just like forms of like stand-up kickboxing. You don't really get, no one's really grappling. There's no like judo throws, no sumo, but there's still enjoyable fights. There is one character throughout the throughout the tournament fights, he does this character does like a very stereotypical looking Shaolin monkey style kung fu. So crouched down, rolling around, all this kind of stuff. And it's fine. But the guy is black, and like, maybe genuinely this was the fighting style that this guy knew, and if that's the case, more power to him. Just like from a very modern viewer lens, I did have this moment of like, that looks racist. Like that feels a bit racist that the black man is doing monkey kung fu. But hey, again, maybe this guy, that stunt dude doing the martial arts, maybe that's what he trained in, and he trained in a very like, obviously this is supposed to look like a monkey fighting style. I don't know. I'm just telling you that there was that moment and another moment that made me go, that kind of looks weird, but okay, we're going to keep rolling with this. As I said, Van Damme was on furlough from the military, but the military, once they found out why he was leaving, they weren't too thrilled about this whole no contact, because Frank Dukes is, he's very valuable to the government. So the military sends two operatives to try and bring him back. One of the operatives being played by a very young Forrest Whitaker, which is a very enjoyable. I always like seeing Forrest Whitaker show up in something. So, and to see him, when I was reviewing the cast for this episode, I was like, oh yeah, he's in this. Oh, this is going to be fun. So they're trying their best to like essentially apprehend Van Damme, which leads to the other scene in this movie that I was like, well, that's just kind of weird looking. There is a chase scene where the two operatives are chasing Frank Dukes through Hong Kong. That's where this kumite is taking place. And the scene is shot where it is a wide shot with the camera being still, and Van Damme, Forrest Whitaker, and the other guy are either running towards the camera or away from the camera. It kind of switches up different shots, but it's always like the camera is still observing the running, and then once everybody's passed, then it like switches to a different shot, a different angle of them running. And there's this pop song playing in the background, and I forgot to look up what the name of the song was, but the whole scene reminded me of in The Karate Kid Part 2, when The Glory of Love is playing in the background, and it's like, this was a movie, now it's a music video, and now we're going to go back to the movie. It felt the same here in Bloodsport, where it was like, this was a movie, now I'm watching like a music video. I'm waiting for one of these scenes while they're running through for the band to be playing in the background as they run by, and now we're back to the movie. Nothing wrong with it whatsoever. It just, is that like an 80s thing? Is that what I'm learning? Is that this is like an, because, you know, music video culture was like a big thing, you know, in the 80s. So like, maybe this is just an 80s thing. I'll keep that in mind if I ever make a 80s ninja, no holds barred fighting tournament movie thing, make sure that there is a music video shoehorned into the movie at some point. Ultimately, in the final round, it is Frank Dukes versus the, at the time, undefeated, undisputed champion, played by Bolo Young. And Bolo looks like he is just having the time of his life in this movie. He seems to be having a great time making this movie. And with Bolo Young being so, like, established, I don't want to say old, because not necessarily old in 1988, but being such an established part of Hong Kong cinema by this point, and Van Damme being so young, so brand new, so babyface to the whole thing, that it really does kind of feel like a bit of a passing of the torch moment when Van Damme ultimately defeats Bolo Young in the final round. This also, again, if you haven't seen this movie, this is where the meme of Jean-Claude Van Damme screaming with the eyes really big, you know, that's where this comes from, for those of you who like to look for memes in the wild. It's a 90-minute movie, and it's like perfect pacing. Not that it's like action-packed, balls to the wall, because there's like a romance that Van Damme goes through with like this reporter who's trying to learn about the Kumite. Very early on in his career, Van Damme is definitely being portrayed as a bit of this like sexy martial artist. I think that was the first time. Well, unless you count some of the blaxploitation starts, I would say maybe in like the mainstream Hollywood, this is like the first time we get like a sexy action star, or martial art action star, at least. Sadly, that didn't last forever for Van Damme. Drug abuse kind of made things a little rough for him there for a while. But especially there early on, man, he's like the heartthrob of this movie. But it's 90 minutes, perfect pacing. Like, you will not be bored watching this film. And in case you didn't know, it's a biopic. This is based on a true story. Frank Dukes was a real guy who throughout the 70s competed in this like kind of underground, no holds barred, full contact Kumite tournament, won multiple titles. He was like a Marine and worked for the CIA for a little bit. When he was in the Kumite tournament scene, he was 300, some like crazy, like 329-0 undefeated in over 300 matches, had a 56 knockout streak, like, you know, 56 matches in a row with a knockout. And what's amazing about all of that is the fact that he made it all up. So yeah, Frank Dukes is possibly, I don't know what the right word is, I don't want to say con man or charlatan, but something like that in martial arts. In the early 80s, Frank Dukes did an interview with Black Belt Magazine making these claims that he had, you know, was like this 10 years undefeated champion of this no holds barred Kumite tournament thing. He was a Marine in Vietnam who went on specialty special ops missions, later joined the CIA to continue to do like secret shady missions. And he was trained by this guy named Takanaka, I think is his name. Takanaka, I think is how you would pronounce it. And not long after this movie was made, people actually started to really look into his claims that he was making. He's the fight choreographer on this movie and several Van Damme films there in the early 90s, and wrote a book about his, like, some of his covert missions and as a Marine and in the CIA. And people started looking into these things and started to find out some very interesting things about the real Frank Dukes. So when it comes to his military claim, his military and CIA claims, it's essentially all stolen valor, which also happens to be the name of a book about his claims and how basically he's made up a lot of his claims throughout his about his military and CIA career. Of course, he uses the ever reliable argument of, well, the reason why there is no documentation or why authorities in the CIA and the government are denying that I did these missions is because they're just trying to cover their tracks because, you know, they don't want this stuff actually known in public and on the books. As for the Kumite and his master, Tanaka, who again was just like this guy in his neighborhood who was a ninja master, as for those claims, there is not enough evidence to prove that this Kumite tournament that he allegedly participated in, there's not enough evidence to prove that it did happen or that it did not happen. There's just not enough evidence one way or another. So the general consensus is that he probably competed in something. He is a martial artist and he did have military service, but it was like after the Vietnam War. But when it comes to the Kumite, he probably competed in something, but more than likely he is exaggerating what was going on, his records, how long he competed in it, and such. As for his master, there is no evidence that this man ever existed. And there are times where, to give him a bit of credit, there are times where martial art history can be a little tricky to trace. It's kind of like, it almost like blends a little bit with like church history at times, because it, or just like history in general at times, honestly, because there it starts to become this melting pot of fact, fiction, mythology, folklore, and at some point we just tell these stories so many times that like it's kind of hard to separate the strands. It's just like one mold at this point. It's kind of like trying to separate Play-Doh after you've meshed multiple colors together and you can't really like peel the individual colors back out. But what is interesting though is that his ninja master's name matches perfectly with the ninja master bad guy in the Ian Fleming novel You Only Live Twice. You know, the James Bond story with ninjas in it. The names match. And he did, when someone pointed that out to him, he said that Ian Fleming liked to base his characters off of real people. So he either is a Bond villain or apparently Frank Dukes was a fan of James Bond novels. I don't know. As for his claim that he once stopped an assassination attempt on the life of Steven Seagal, that one I'm going to believe wholeheartedly. I don't see why not. Like, I don't have a problem with that one. I think it's kind of fun. And I mean, the Venn diagram of Frank Dukes and Steven Seagal isn't necessarily a circle, but there's quite a bit of overlap there. So, you know, I'll go with that one. Sure. He definitely saved Steven Seagal's life at one point in time. Sure. I love that. Why not? You can have that one, Frank Dukes. And trust me, folks, if you did not know any of that and you had not seen Bloodsport and you're like, well, now I don't know, should I go watch it? you should. Like, if Bloodsport is completely made up, then that just means Frank Dukes is a good storyteller. And just don't press him on the details, because then he turns into the world's worst liar. When you win the Kumite, you're given a katana. And someone asked him, hey, where's your katana from your victory at? Like, you don't have this sword anymore. And apparently he had to sell it to get ransom money to save a group of orphans from pirates, but the pirates ended up swindling him, so he still had to, like, beat up all the pirates to save these orphans. That's the real story he's going with for why he doesn't have a sword anymore. So yeah, I'll believe suddenly now the idea of him saving Steven Seagal's life seems so much more realistic now, doesn't it? Why would somebody go to such great lengths to make up all these stories about themselves, or at least exaggerate tales from their life, right around the same time that he did this interview with Black Belt Magazine? Dukes had just started his own martial arts and his own group of dojos, Dukes Ryu Ninjutsu. And so basically this is kind of like the world's biggest, like, advertising scheme to, like, try and bring in new students. That being said, I think Bloodsport I know this for a fact, that Bloodsport probably inspired, not probably, did inspire so many people to go into the martial arts. Mirko Krokop Filipovic, one of my favorite mixed martial artists, he got into the martial arts because of this movie. I'm sure plenty of people got into the martial arts because of this movie. And it made Dukes a lot of money. This movie and the other films he worked on, he wrote a book, like, he was financially successful because of these stories that he tells about himself. The thing is, though, if the strategy was to try and make Dukes Ryu Ninjutsu, like, the next big martial art, this is what I want you to do. I want you to open a window, grab a rock, and throw it. Chances are, whatever building you just hit with that rock, there's probably in that building a place where you can learn Taekwondo, Karate, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or Muay Thai. They're everywhere. Not so much with Dukes Ryu Ninjutsu. It's still a thing. You can check it out on his website, and there's a, you know, videos where he kind of does some, like, intro stuff. But yeah, there's not a Dukes Ryu Ninjutsu on every corner next to every McDonald's and Starbucks. So maybe it didn't work perfectly, but I guarantee that it inspired a lot of people to go into the martial arts. So would I watch Bloodsport again? Duh, obviously. Would I buy a physical media copy of this? Get this. I have two. I own this movie on DVD. It's a double pack with Time Cop, so be on the lookout for that review. A little silly Dark Horse Comics movie review. And I actually very recently came across this at an antique store as a VHS. It was like $2. I was like, heck yeah, that's coming home with me. No mold on the tape. It was perfect. We got to get out of here. So once again, thank you, Donald Gibb, for your work in the film industry and for such an amazing, lovable character here in this movie. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. Check out the other great shows here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network. Follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY. And that's it for me. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.